Hello, everybody, and this is Negative World Euphonic Extra Credits Episode 1, or Extra Credits 1, or Extra Credits Uno, for our Spanish listeners. what this is kind of a resurgence. You haven't seen the Euphonic podcast in quite some time, not since, I think, literally the last day of last year. And Joe and I, well, hello, Joe, I should say.
Oh, hello.
Make sure that people know you're here.
Yes. Lurking in the shadows.
Yes, lurking. And you're lurking for good reason, because we wanted to kind of do a recap of the past five episodes, the past 10 themes, and pick some favorites of ours that were not chosen initially. Give some props where props is due, listen to some great music, and not need to go through the whole process of begging for more music from people. Mm-hmm. So, pretty much that's the gist. We're going to do this in a slightly different way than normal. We're going to play two songs at a time, you know, so each theme more or less. First the Mario set, then the water set, and we're going to go in chronological order of the episodes. I'm going to announce the songs and who submitted them ahead of time as well, which is a little different than normal, just to, you know, because we're not trying to have the guessing game aspect of it here. We just want to showcase there, you know, and we'll talk a little bit about these songs, but not too much. We've kind of talked about all the themes already, obviously, in the past five episodes. Not looking to retread there. So hopefully everyone out there listening will just enjoy the music and see a wide selection of great video game music chosen by the Negative Worlders.
Would you say that this is like an honorable mention / redemption cast? In that, like, these are the songs that could have easily made it in our picks for the actual episodes, but, you know, we're just on the cusp.
Some of them definitely. The way that Joe and I decided what songs were going to be in this episode, we each were tasked to pick one from each theme, which led to the two per theme thing. So, you know, in I would think pretty much every case, you know, our picks were, hey, I really wish that this one had gotten in, or maybe this is the next one on our list.
Right.
I know that in the 8-bit license games, there's one that I fought with you hard on, and you know, we didn't go with, so now here's my chance.
Blood was drawn.
Yeah, it was. and so that's pretty much the name of the game here. So I'm excited. We can just jump in unless there's anything you want to add.
Nope. Let's go.
Nope. Okay. So our first theme, if you guys may remember back in the late day, I think it was well over a year ago now that we started this first episode of this series, and the theme was Mario games. And I guess, do you want to announce your pick and my pick, or how do you want to do that? We didn't really discuss this. Do you want me to just say both?
Just say both.
Okay. So first up, we're going to have the Overworld theme from Paper Mario Sticker Star, submitted by Ludus210. And following that is
Luda
Mario Circuit from Fortune Street, submitted by Mr. Mustache. Enjoy. We'll be right back. That was the Mario songs. I think what Joe, you and I can do, just because we want to touch upon the songs briefly but not drone on, is maybe just say why we picked the songs that we picked.
Okay.
I was the one who chose Paper Mario Sticker Star. I thought Ludist, you know, picked a great track from a recent Mario game. And unfortunately with this, the music, I think, was better than the game itself. You know, when I completed and everything, it was an okay experience, but the music was top notch. And so that's why I had to pick that. Why'd you pick Fortune Street?
I picked Fortune Street, for a reason that has 0% to do with Fortune Street, unfortunately. I know Mustache really likes Fortune Street, but, I actually never had the opportunity to play that game. So I picked it because I freaking love the Mario Circuit theme from the first, Mario Kart.
That is a good theme.
Yeah, it's just a song that I have such amazing associations with from playing the game back in the day. And so, you know, I wanted to include it now.
Hopefully we'll hear more of that in the upcoming Mario Kart game, which should be out like right around now when you're hearing this. Because I plan on getting this edited quick enough. So
That game's coming out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, didn't know that.
Maybe yesterday, maybe 4 weeks ago, depending on when I get this edited. But
that's true. That could be on Mario Kart 9. But
yeah. The Mario Kart 8 DLC with battle mode might actually come out. Anyway, so yeah, very good pick. I liked it a lot. Let's go on to our second theme here. It's the water theme, which was the second theme in the first episode. The songs that that we chose are Donkey Kong Country's Aquatic Ambiance, picked out by Zero, and then the second song is actually another Mr. Mustache pick, Splash Woman's theme from Mega Man 9.
Thank you.
All right. All right. So that was our second set here. And, you know, you and I were talking off air why we didn't pick Aquatic Ambience in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I mean, looking at the track list, there just was so many good songs. I can kind of see how that snuck out. But you're the one that picked that. So please tell us why you chose it for this episode.
Yeah, quite simply, because as we were saying off air, I feel like this is a song that a lot of people kind of go to and think of when they think about either aquatic themed stages, you know, underwater stages, which I think, were you the one who brought up, like, why do they always suck or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's understandable, but yeah, when people think of them, I think this is a song that easily comes to mind first. And I think it's because, at least in my mind, it's one of those first, you know, earliest tracks that was just not about getting the player really amped up and excited. And it was a song that was like confident enough in itself to just be soothing and relaxing. And it's not like in that stage you can't get hurt or anything. It's not like a break stage. It's like, you know, you're still fighting sharks and octopi spinning around and whatever it is. So,
right.
Yeah. What about you for Splash Woman?
You know, thinking back, Mega Man always has great music. I mean, pretty much every soundtrack is full of gems. And I think what I liked about Splash Woman was not only that it was the first female robot, which I think is just great for them to finally break away from the, you know, quote, man, quote, unquote, baddies, but it also was, you know, the first Mega Man to come in a long gap of release dates, and a traditional Mega Man anyway. And so to have kind of this woman representation here, but also it's such a great water-based song. Like, it sounds so good. It's so classic. It's like it fits right into the Mega Man 2 or 3 soundtrack, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought it was just a great pick. Mr. Mustache did a great job submitting it. And, you know, I'm glad we can now kind of rectify the long wait between that that praise.
Yeah, definitely. And now.
So let's move on to our third theme here, which was character themes in episode 2. Mm. And this was a bit broad, a bit vague. The two songs that we've picked today are Ashley's Theme in Japanese from WarioWare Touched, picked by Anand. And I know he's going to be psyched to hear that this was picked. I wanted to pick it so many times, but we'll get into that. And then after that is another Mega Man song from Mega Man 3. It's Proto Man's Theme, also known as Whistle Concert, I think. At least maybe that's what I just saw on YouTube. Mm. But that was chosen by Hammerlord. So let's jump in.
Thank you.
So that was damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Great pick. Since mine was first, I'll just say that Anand had picked Ashley's theme in Japanese a couple times throughout the first five episodes. And it's not that I didn't want to pick it. It's just that there were just other songs that caught our collective attention. And so when it came down to picking one more, I had to go with that one. I think Ashley's an adorable character from the WarioWare touched or WarioWare series in general. I think she's in more than one game. And I think the Japanese version of the song is better than the English one. So awesome pick. Why'd you pick Proto Man's theme? Well, not that you need to justify it so damn good, but tell us.
After that good song, why'd you pick Proto Man? No, just, I mean, you know, what could I say? I still am just always a fan of the friggin' NES Mega Man songs. I just feel like anything that came out of there was gold. And with this song, it's one that stuck out because it was so, like, it was the first time where, yeah, all these stages had their own theme and you kind of associate them with the boss of that world, but this was the first time where it was like, you know, this theme announces the presence of this character. And it was also this kind of mysterious thing because, right, he's whistling like off camera and then he appears. And you wouldn't hear it in the games until I think the end of the game. But what was kind of cool about this song was it kind of gets into that like sad kind of tone eventually. And you get kind of a glimpse into that character, you know, at the beginning, musically, it's just the whistling and it's this very lonely kind of feeling. And then you get that bit of a somber tone later and you get a sense of this character in this 8-bit game with very little text. And that's impressive to do. So that's why I picked it.
Good explanation. You know, I have one question for you before we move on, though. Was the whistling always meant to be like a diegetic sound?
I believe so.
Okay, because I think when I was playing this game back in the day, I always figured it was just part of the song, you know, which obviously wouldn't have an actual presence in the game from the character's perspective. But after seeing it called, what the hell did I just say? Whistle Concert. Yeah. As like an alternate thing. I'm thinking to myself, maybe is that what Proto Man really does? Is he whistles to announce himself?
I think so. I mean, if you just think to yourself, like any anime you've watched over the years, wouldn't that just seem like exactly how this would play out if this was a show.
For sure. And I kind of like it better as a diegetic sound.
He's kind of
cocky, but like in a, you know, maybe in a rightful way because he's such a cool character.
He's got that scarf on a robot. Come on.
That sounds like a sitcom. Not really. But okay, well, let's move on to our fourth theme, which was the overworld themes. Second theme from the second episode.
What a good theme.
Oh yeah, it was a good theme. I mean, I kind of wanted to pair the characters and overworlds together because there are two facets, I think, that of songs that can define a game itself.
Mm-hmm.
That first overworld theme, typically anyway, and that main character theme, though we didn't specify main before, and that's fine. So here we picked the overworld theme from The Legend of Zelda, and that was picked by Jargon, kind of like the most classic one you could think of besides maybe, you know, World 1-1 of Mario Brothers. And then the other song picked was picked by Smurd, and that was Corridors of Time from Chrono Trigger. Yeah, whatever, man.
I flubbed
my lines.
You're doing great, Steven.
Thank you. You know what's also great? So good.
Good stuff.
I'm glad we went forward in time and played this song.
Yep.
You know, after this, after the original show aired.
Yep. Can other people not do that? Is it just us?
Everyone can, if they get their own podcast and wait like 6 months.
I see.
Actually, this episode, if it was in episode 2, it's been like a year since this episode aired, so.
Right.
Hot damn. But anyway, so you were the one who picked the Legend of Zelda Overworld theme. So tell me why. Why would you pick that song, for God's sake? Justify yourself, man.
Very simply, you know, there's not really a whole lot to say. It's because of its iconic status. That's why I went with it. I mean, we were talking about Overworld themes, and I think you said aside from, you know, maybe was it Mario 1-1?
Mm-hmm.
You said that, you know, There's a few up there near the top of that list when you're thinking about them, and you know, so yeah, felt it should be heard.
World 1-1 of Mick Kids, right? Let's make sure that's clear. That's what I meant by that.
Well played.
Thank you.
And then what about Chrono Trigger?
Well, I almost picked the Gwar Plains from Xenoblade because that was another hot debate between us. But
hot debate.
But Chrono Trigger left such an impression on me when I played it, you know, a decade plus later on the DS.
That's weird. What a weird experience for you.
I know. It's almost like I'm the only one except for my other, you know, my co-host. But yeah. For people who didn't hear us because we cut it out of the show, Joe and I were just talking about that, how we both played this game, you know, a good decade plus after it came out.
Yep.
And the varying degrees of appreciation that we both felt despite liking it, but just, you know, you play any game that long after its release, you won't necessarily get the same experience as if it was brand new.
Right.
But the Corridors of Time is just such a masterful theme. If I was to have to tell somebody, you know, what a masterful video game track really is, very few, I think, would come close to Corridors of Time. The way that it elicits emotion and plays well with the graphics and the story of the game in which it exists is just phenomenal. And this is actually one of those songs that I frequently hum to myself just randomly. I did it yesterday. And so it's just a very impactful song for me, and Smurd definitely picked a great one that I'm glad we could play today.
Definitely.
So moving on to the next set of themes, we had the fire theme from episode 3, and definitely a lot of hot debate went into this.
Yes, I see. I see what you did there.
I had to pause to think of one just because my body forced me. I just couldn't avoid it. But we picked a couple here, and you know, I guess we'll just jump right in.
What are they called, Stephen?
I was going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
The first one we have up is from The Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time. It's I don't know who, what order it goes in, honestly, but it's Kotake and Kume.
Sounds good.
Their theme, also known as Twin Rova, from near the end of Ocarina of Time, before or after the Shadow Temple, depending how you play, right? And that was picked by PokeFreak 911. And then the second song from the Fire theme was Mega Man 6's Flame Man theme, picked out by Mop It Up. So, I'm not even going to say a pun here. That was awesome. You know, good, two great songs. I was the one who picked out the one from Ocarina of Time. And I actually picked out one from Ocarina of Time in the original episode. I picked out the Fire Temple. But this was just another great song from that that game. And it kind of was a play, I think, on both themes that we had, because...
Right.
Fire and Ice, and that was the whole point of the episode. So I think PokeFreak nailed it on that one. And as I was saying to you off, off air, it was so cool to fight Twin Rova, and then the fact that the battle starts with two kind of cackling old hags, like complaining and just
bickering.
Yeah, but you could tell that they were sisters as well. Like, it was so well done, and the theme was so kind of whimsical and yet evil. I had to pick it for this.
Yep.
And what about you and more Mega Man? What's up with that?
Yeah, as we've established, I really like the musical stylings of Mega Man. And, you know, that game, Mega Man 6, I think is really underrated just across the board, but obviously including musically. And this song, I don't know how I let myself pick anything other than this song for the original recordings, because I love it so much. I love the way that it builds up, and I love the friggin' all the little bluesy riffs, and you know how it gets itself going. Ah, it's such a good song. It's good that we're doing this, because I can reflect on the actual choices that I made at the time.
So are you saying that you would have picked this as your pick?
Instead, yeah. I mean, had I thought about it long enough, you know, done enough research, gone back and found this song. But hey, you know, it's good. This way we get to talk about it now.
Yeah.
And get people to listen to it now. And well done, Mop It Up, for reminding me of this song.
Mm-hmm. And going back to the Splash Woman thing, I mean, these two songs sound like they could be from the same game, which was a testament to Mega Man 9's musical composition. Mm-hmm. But also, it's a testament, too, that Mega Man 6, as much as it's kind of a late-era Mega Man game, still just as great.
That game, when it came out, I absolutely believe that the fervor for Mega Man had just died off.
Fizzled
right
out.
Before. Yeah,
the
right.
The flame might have...
extinguished.
Yeah, thank you.
I remember kind of being like the only one in the world who was really excited for Mega Man 6 coming out. And even then, when I would go and like talk to people, like no one really was playing it. And I was like, no, you get these awesome... You know, Rush isn't just a dog. He's like these different suits. And everyone's like, that's stupid. But anyway, amazing song.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Here's a little secret. More amazing songs are to come.
Oh, my God.
Because we're going into the ice theme, man.
Oh, my God.
That was the second half to episode 3. And a lot of great tracks were picked. A lot of great were submitted. The two songs that are coming up, I think, are some of my all-time favorites from anything ever. And just to tell you guys what they are, we got Roy Koopa 64's pick, which was from Metroid Prime, the Phendrana Drifts. Mm-hmm. And then Mop It Up shows up again. Mop It Up pops it up with Banjo-Kazooie's Freeze Easy Peak. Mm-hmm. So bundle up and sit tight. Here they are. Thank you. Those, like I think I said this before we went into this, but those are some of the best songs I've ever heard from video games. So, so good. You were the one who picked Metroid Prime, which honestly, just looking at a list flat out, I would have had a hard time figuring out which one of these I would have chose.
Right.
And So, but it's great that you chose Metroid.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just one of those songs that, as we were talking about, I mean, it just sets the tone so well for. Not only that part of the game, but I think when you arrive at that part of the game, I remember the first time when you set foot into Phendrana Drifts and, you know, the camera's panning around as they did in that, those Metroid Prime games where it kind of is establishing the setting. And you get that music and it's just, you know, that music has that sense of just, sort of quiet, desolation and isolation and but even cold. I mean, is, well, you were talking about sort of the flora and fauna that would be in that area and how it is musically influenced, right?
Yeah, because there's those little flying creatures that I don't even know if they ever get scanned or whatever, but they kind of sound like that little screech sound. It's almost like them crying just in nature,
in the music,
part of the music. Yeah.
Yeah, and I really, and there's a lot of variation to that song as well. I mean, it's very ambient, but there's still a lot of distinct parts. parts to it. I mean, one of my favorite parts is that huge piano run towards the middle, just all the way up and down the scale. And then even later, how just like everything drops out and then you just get that sort of phaser sound effect that's, you know, going back and forth. These are gutsy decisions
to make. When you're in an organic world like this, it's that little phaser sound effect or that phaser section that you're talking about is a reminder that you're in a technologically advanced world still, you know. Mm-hmm. The soundtrack to the game in general was fantastic for that, but this is probably one of the best, if not the best composed section, I think.
Yeah, good stuff.
And then
do you like Banjo-Kazooie? Is that something that you have played? Or
I'm in a polygamous relationship with Banjo and Kazooie. we're so in love, the three of us.
It's good that he just carries him around in that backpack. It's very convenient.
Yeah, that's why I went for like the side bag when we went shopping, because I figured that was going to happen and Banjo would be stuck carrying her, so that's why I went that route. But I just want to say it's kind of cool to see that you picked a Mop It Up song and then I picked a Mop It Up song this time. You know, just cool for Mop It Up, I guess. That her picks influenced
us.
She's
got good taste.
She does, as do many people on the site. I mean, there really wasn't a bad song in any of the...
Mostly just Mop It Up. No, just kidding. Yes.
You know, picked, whether we chose it or not for the show. But Freeze Easy Peak is...
Young Freeze Easy Peak. I think it's the full title.
Yeah, sure. Again, just it's a great wintry song. The composition is very Christmassy as well, which is partially the point. You know, there's a lot of Christmas influence in that level, and it's also got a bit of that desolation that, you know, that cold desolation that that you get in Frendrana Drifts, and that's a truly good cold bitter winter song should have. So but yet it's also cheery.
I think it certainly has an upbeat sound to it.
And I'll tell you, when I hear the song, I can never, I'm not even sure if it was actually in the song we just heard, because in my head, I always add in the oh, ho, 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 ho of the giant snowmen who throw snowballs at you. It's so intrinsically linked in my head. It's great. But let's move on to episode 4 of the Euphonic Podcast, where we had town themes for the first set.
Not overworld themes.
No, and there's definitely a distinction. Maybe in some games there's not. There's definitely a distinction. But I think overworld themes is what inspired me to go with picking towns as a theme so quickly.
Yeah, you got the overworld, and then you move to towns or dungeons.
Mm-hmm. And dungeon themes is not one we've done yet, but that's a great one to do. So maybe you'll see that on future episodes, which there will be. This show never had a set schedule. We just kind of do it when we can. I have a lot of fun doing it. You have a lot of fun doing it. So we'll get to there eventually. But dungeon themes is definitely a great idea. Going back into town, though, sauntering back into town, we have two. No surprise there. The first one is picked by Jargon, and it's
pronounced Jargon.
Jargon?
Yes.
Jargon?
Swedish.
Jargon?
I always just want to say that. I don't know. When I see his name, I just want to...
You're spelling anyway. Jargon there. Anyway, so Jargon picked The Color of the Summer Sky from Secret of Mana. Mm. It's not mana, right?
I believe you are up to your own...
The Secret of Mana?
playing that Secret of Mana game again?
Yeah. I don't know what accent that's supposed to be. But Secret of Mana, The Color of the Summer Sky, which I think is a great name for a theme anyway. You know, a lot of these town themes would be just town theme.
Right.
I'm pretty sure in Zelda 2, that's what it is, you know, town theme. But right. The Color of the Summer Sky, beautiful title for a song. And then the second pick was from Hero of Hyrule, and it's not from a Zelda game. It's actually Earthbound's Onnit theme, which as a non-Earthbound gamer myself, I found this to be a great treat of a song. So let's give him a listen, and we'll talk about him briefly. Thank you. So, Joe.
Yeah.
What would the color Steven. Of the summer sky be for you?
The color of the summer sky would look like a happy, bouncy, upbeat tune with a lot of maybe marimba in there.
Marimba.
Can't really tell. I feel like that's sort of the...
Is that like an official Crayola color?
Oh, no. It's a xylophone-like.
Yeah, no, I know what
it means. Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure.
I was just referencing colors, visual
like,
colors.
Like maroon and imba. Yeah, so this song, A Secret of Mana, the first game in the series, I always thought was great. And as we were saying, the visual color palette of that game is, I think, what really sets it apart. And I think you get that vibrant nature that comes from the colors in this song.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels so just like wholesome and happy and we can do it.
Well, you know, and in that sense, you know what it reminds me of?
What?
The same kind of like cheesy daytime music that Harvest Moon has.
Yeah, I'd buy that.
And, you know, I think maybe even the Super Nintendo Harvest Moon, I could say, would be a good fit. But, and not that that's a detriment to the Secret of Mana game, because this is a really nice song. It's very pleasant. And, you know, I think I said it in the episode itself, but town themes are supposed to be, you know, I mean, that's a hub world. It's, you're supposed to...
Got to recharge your battery.
Yeah. I mean, and unless the town's being plagued by an evil deity or something, you know, you generally want it to be more of a relaxing kind of theme, you know? And yeah. So this was a nice one. And I think this one was almost picked for the actual episode itself, but, you know, just slipped out of grasp.
That can happen. And then you chose the Earthbound, mm-hmm. which is a game that I certainly have never played.
Me either, but...
Yes, and now we are fired from Negative World.
Right, right. No, but it's actually on my backlog, and it's on my to-do list backlog, because I don't actually have it, but I was just going to download it, you know, at some point. And the game, I hear it's very funky, and the music in general is also kind of funky, but... This song was really something special to me.
Uh-huh.
It's just, I really have nothing to say about it because I can't articulate why I like it so much.
It is a bit funky. It is a bit quirky. It is a bit offbeat and not in the musical sense, although it may be.
It's like, it's like a funkier elevator music.
Yeah.
But not in a bad way.
Right.
And it's actually,
I mean, go ahead. I wish that really everything I've seen and heard about Earthbound, I don't know if just the weirder things kind of are the ones that people end up talking about. So maybe the game is more normal on the whole. I don't know. But I could certainly see this kind of goofy track fitting right in with what I've heard from Earthbound.
Mm-hmm.
And in that perspective, it's very well written.
And it's very simple, too.
Yep.
You know, which I think a lot of... good town themes are. You don't want something too complicated or too intricate.
Yeah, and you didn't for Earthbound, if it's, you know, set in modern day and there's not at least initially big dragons flying around and airships and cannons and stuff, then keeping it simple makes sense, right?
That's right. So let's move on to our fourth episode of themes, and or actually we're still in that. Sorry, I clearly can't tell where I'm at.
4.5?
Yes, 4.5. I guess I said that mistakenly because towns and spooky themes don't really, you know, go together. I mean, they're spooky towns, I guess, but this was, I mean, Mario and Water, it's not like they were meant to be some sort of match, you know, but character themes and overworld themes were seen as a set. Fire and Ice were seen as a set. Town was something I wanted to do, but spooky only really came about because it was right around Halloween that we released this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a lot of fun to do this theme. Just, it was, you know, the way it was timed and everyone's input and everyone's desire to share their creepiest themes. It's a lot of fun. A lot of, you know, you can't do that with every holiday. So,
right.
So this was pretty cool. And, I don't want to even think about the song that I picked right now, because I just remember how horrifying that was. But we have two here that that were picked from some friends of ours. We have Game Dad Grant's pick.
GDG.
GDG from Resident Evil 2. It's the PlayStation / main hall. And it is really good. And, you know, we're going to hear it in a second. I almost picked this back in the day, too. I remember it was a tough call there, a close call. And then the old man from Zelda appropriately picked the Dark World Dungeon theme from The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. So two great spooky titles, spooky in their own ways. Let's get a little creeped out right now.
Songs.
You know, it makes me wonder if we should do a spooky songs part two, you know, next Halloween or whatever. Because there's so much to tap in with spooky songs that you don't get really anywhere else. It's such a distinct theme to itself.
True. It's a distinct emotion.
Mm-hmm. It is. And that's a good way to look at it, linking it to the emotion that it causes.
Yeah. So that first one was the police station from Resident Evil 2 by GDG.
Yeah.
And that, you know, just like the Fendrana Drift, it's a song that I think really has its weight in how it first hits you. So in Resident Evil 2, you get to the police station early on in the game, but I kind of look at it as that's where the game begins from my perspective. So you kind of, you know, you're going through the streets of the town that is, you know, things are starting to go to hell, but you're not really sure why. And then I feel like it's just sort of like a mad scramble to the police station. And then when you get to the police station, that's where I feel like the tone is set. And this song helps do that, where it's like, okay, now you know the situation that you're in. It's time to sort of collect yourself and try to figure out what you're going to do about it. And I think that song just accomplishes that so well. And it's the same kind of meandering, echoey piano stuff that we've talked about before on the show and how effective it can be. But, you know, they just do such a great job with it. I don't know. What's your take?
I mean, it's pretty spot on with what you were saying. There's such a moody sense to it that that just really attracts me to it from a spooky or horror, perspective.
Mm-hmm.
That game, I haven't really played Resident Evil 2, but from what I understand about it, you know, the world around you is kind of going to hell, and there's not a lot of people around, but there's just zombies, and there's a great sense of desolation. This definitely encapsulates that. And without droning on and on, I think what's the word? It's maybe cinematic, but just the way that it just, I don't know, I feel like that's, yeah, I'm in half sentence mode, so I can't articulate it. Cinematic is just the best way I can put it.
Well, I'll put one last note on it, which is that I feel like it's kind of telling you, okay, now we're about to get going, so you can catch your breath, but you know what? Catching your breath might not really help you all that much.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then moving on to Zelda.
Yep, I chose the Dark World Dungeon theme, and that the old man from Zelda picked out. And I chose it for this podcast because, while it's not spooky in the same way that, you know, Resident Evil 2 is, there's still something very tense about this song, and when you're trying to fight through these bad guys, and especially for your first experience through Link to the Past, it's quite a deep and dull and anxious song as you're fighting these enemies, not knowing what's in what room, and obviously the enemies aren't too scary or anything. But when you hear this mixed with, a Wall Master or something, you know, things can feel unsettling. So,
oh yeah,
I think it's a weird example of like a lighthearted but spooky theme all the same.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely puts you in that mindset. You know, it's creepy, but I'm not really sure it would be. I guess it's more like unsettling. You know, like you just kind of feel like something's wrong, and you're alone down in this dungeon or cave or whatever. No, dungeon, I guess. But yeah, and you've got to fight your way out of it.
So, Joe, I'm a little creeped out now. Do you mind if we lighten things up a little bit?
Let's do that.
All right. Well, one thing that I think lightens up everyone's day is playing some good licensed games.
Yeah.
Good games, though, let me just say. You play a bad license game, your day is horrible, it's cloudy, it's raining on you. Cloudy with a chance of ET is what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm not even sure that all of these games would be universally accepted as good, but I do see what you're getting at.
That's true, though, and that's what made episode 5 of the Euphonic kind of a tricky thing to go through, because I think it's way more subjective than anything before it.
Yeah.
Because, yep. I mean, like, Mario, there's opinions in Mario songs. There's opinions with overworld themes and town themes and spooky themes especially. But licensed games are so personal, I think, because they relate not just to the game itself, but to the cartoons they're tied into, or the age in which you experience them, stuff like that. So it was a very interesting one to request the users of Negative World to go with. And we this particular episode, we had kind of a lot of the same people kind of throwing out a bunch of songs. It was right near the end of the year. I think there was just not too much support, which, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen for the next episodes. People, you know, definitely give us as many songs as you can think of. But so I guess in that regard, it wasn't surprising that Roy Koopa 64 actually earned both spots on today's show for the 8-bit license themes, which was the first. Yeah. And for two very different games, you know, very different licenses. But the first one here, we have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Follow the Foot Clan for the Game Boy, Stage 5. And then Roy Koopa 64 also picked the title screen from Silver Surfer, which, nice. If people remember, I contested quite a bit.
You did contest.
Yes, and I'm a little happy I can redeem that there. But let's listen to some of this 8-bit goodness, okay? All right. I'm glad to see a little bit of Game Boy action going on there.
Yeah, definitely. An underrated platform, to be sure.
You know, Roy Koopa throwing that in there. Game Dad Grant did too, though. I think people were excited to have a chance to kind of show off the Game Boy music, because mm-hmm. there is a lot of good Game Boy stuff out there. And
yes.
It goes kind of undetected sometimes, because when you think of 8-bit, you don't think of Game Boy necessarily.
No, yeah, it's funny. The handhelds didn't really seem to champion their bits the way that consoles did.
Right.
Ever. I'm not sure why that was exactly, but...
Yeah, I don't know. It just didn't need to, I guess.
Yeah. So, for the first one, Fall of the Foot Clan, and this was a game we were sort of touching on it when we kicked into this segment, how, you know, how subjective all of these are. And so for me, like, I was just such a huge Ninja Turtle fan, as I imagine many of us were during this time. And, you know, I was super excited to get this game, play this game, and I loved playing this game, but to be perfectly honest, I mean, the music was possibly better than possibly the best part about it. It was pretty nice that the character sprites were pretty darn large, and fairly well animated, decently animated, at least decently drawn. So this piece of music is just kind of like, gets you psyched up to play and gets you in that sort of turtle frame of mind. I'm not sure what the musical links are between, like, a good Ninja Turtle video game song and the actual theme song from the show, but I think you definitely get similar musical themes between the two. I'm not sure if it's like stepping up a chromatic part of the scale or what, but there are things that I think make good Ninja Turtle video game songs reminiscent of the show, and I think this piece has that.
Yeah, agreed. And that's it. Just agree. I don't have too much to say about it.
That's cool. So then next we had the title screen song from Silver Surfer.
Yep. I wanted it in the original episode, because the game, as weird as it is, for being not really that great of an actual game, the music is impeccable. And the title screen gets me dancing, and I was doing it during that song just now. So definitely. Simple as that. That's why I picked it. It had to be in there. It's too damn good. In my mind, it overshadows everything.
It was a tough, I had a hard time with what song from Silver Surfer that we would use, but I think this is great. That one of the things I was saying so much about when we talked about that other Silver Surfer song was that it was music that I feel I had never heard anything like it, not even stylistically, but just like technically produced from an NES. And this song, it's the same thing. I mean, it's like weird techno sound effects that I wasn't even sure the NES was capable of at that time.
Yeah, I'm still kind of amazed by it when I think about it.
Yep.
But, things change, and, we've had a lot of upgrades to video game music over these generations. So now, it seems kind of crazy to us that an NES title might have this, but, speaking of those upgrades, the second and final theme of this episode, episode 5 that we did, and the final theme of today's episode is 16-bit licensed games. We thought it might be a fun thing to kind of pair them up as opposed to make them part of different episodes, and I wouldn't say we learned anything about, the upgrade of quality, per se, but we still got to hear a lot of cool tracks, and I think if anything can be said, there was a lot more Disney going on in the 16-bit games.
This is true.
Which might speak about just where the video game world was at the time. And that said, that's actually, I don't think Power Rangers is owned by Disney, so neither song of ours is actually a Disney song, but a lot of the options were.
From this, for today's episode.
Yes. So, that said, the last two songs of the show are Bury My Shell at Wounded Knee from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 4, Turtles in Time, and that was chosen by Chris BG 99. Yep. And then the final song, which is not a song that I think works that well on a, you know, finale kind of level, but it just so happens to be our final song today, is the end boss battle from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, chosen by Game Dad Grant. You know, maybe I'm full of crap. Maybe you guys will feel differently. Let's find out.
Let's do it.
You know what? On second thought, that makes a great outro.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
It makes me want to go kick some, you know, monster ass, get like a Megazord thing going on. Me and a bunch of Negative World friends linking arms.
Totally.
Wearing each other's boots.
What color and dinosaur would you be?
Color and dinosaur? I'd be blue for sure. And nice. I would be, what is it, an Apatosaurus? This is what they used to call the Brontosaurus, doesn't actually exist. Just that really long-necked one. Right. I'd be blue, and I'd be just whipping everyone with my neck.
I hear you.
Like a drunk party girl or something, with no hair. You know.
Yeah.
That'd be me. What about you?
Oh, green all the way. Not even just because of the whole Green Ranger thing. Just my favorite color.
Mm-hmm.
And I was probably gonna go with like a Brontosaurus, but now I'll go with like, I think it's called a Pachycephalosaurus is the name.
Pachycephalosaurus?
Yeah, it's that thing with like the really hard head, and it would ram things.
Oh, yep.
Its head. Yeah.
A couple small horns, I think, up there, but it's got a really hard skull.
Yeah.
I mean, like a couple inches.
Tiny.
Yeah. So, okay, all right.
Well, now that we've established that.
Yeah, we need to make a thread on it just to figure out what the Negative World Megazord would look like.
Oh, man. Yeah, that'd be kind of fun.
You know, but
back to the first
music,
song.
To the music, yeah. I was the one that picked this, Turtles in Time. You're not even a big fan of this song.
Not of this song, no.
But for some reason...
Fan of the game, fan of the music in the game. This song's fine. I'm just not blown away by it.
There's something about the manicness of this song.
Yep.
And although it does kind of feel not racist or anything, but but like, I mean, I unfortunately, you know, my lack of understanding of history, a lot of my wounded knee information came from BioShock Infinite.
Okay.
Because it plays into the plot a little bit, and so I started reading up on it after that, and you know, it's I don't think the Battle of Wounded Knee was really a great day for Indians, from what I understand. I could be, you know, wrong.
Probably not.
I don't think it was a winning day, if my memory serves me. But
I'm not sure Native Americans had too great a time.
Any good days? Yeah, right.
That's the yeah.
And you know, let me clarify too. Yeah, that's what I mean when I say Indians. You know, Native Americans.
Oh yes, so, yes. I think we all know.
But not to go into a history lesson, but still, like, you know, so there's like certain musical themes that we've heard over the course of entertainment media relating to Native Americans, and this sounds a hell of a lot like one. Yeah, this is it.
This is in
16-bit form. But I think just what I like about it is that just the speed and the manicness of it, and then like the random like the horrible sound bite, you know.
Yeah, well, and going along with that, what I like is that that orchestra hit sound effect, the like da 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 da,
yeah,
you know, that was in I think like every track from this game, right?
Oh, was it? I don't know.
I think
I played Trolls in Time briefly a long, long time ago. Oh,
so GD good.
Yeah.
So Game Dad good. GD good, yeah.
So Game Dad good. Well, you know, speaking of Game Dad, that he was the one who picked the final song of this episode, the last episode, your pick. Why the hell would you go with the Power Rangers?
Well, simply because it, you know, it's kind of iconic. Again, this, the same reason why I picked the Legend of Zelda thing, I think, is because it just sort of, like, stands alone as a really, you know... It stands on its own. You don't need a lot of context to appreciate this song. And as a licensed game, it's kind of nice to probably be able to capture that essence of the source material in your game, right? Mm-hmm. So, and this song did that. Now, I wanted to ask you, because you are a few years younger than me, what was your outlook on Power Rangers in the day, like when it was happening?
I watched it when it was first out in the States, and I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
Okay.
I watched it, you know, I wasn't overly addicted to it or anything, but I definitely enjoyed it.
Right.
And I didn't really, let's see, they had the Green Ranger, which then was replaced by like a White Ranger, I think.
Correct.
Or vice versa. After that point, it started getting like Pokemon, where like they're changing shit up too much. And maybe I'm just getting older and I'm pulling out of it. So it was a good couple years, a good solid couple years that I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Right.
Especially when I learned that it was just Japanese footage. With like some random American intercut stuff,
yeah.
That most of it came from Japan, and that's why the voice acting was so bad, because they were just dubbing over Japanese stuff. It just made it even more enjoyable.
And why once they would go into fights, they would suddenly become very expressive with their bodies,
right?
But outside of battle, they just talk like normal.
That's true. They're like all stoned teenagers outside of battle. They're like Saved by the Bell, and then suddenly they go into. You know, this crazy, like kabuki theater type thing. I liked the show, and it's funny. I think the music is one of the more memorable things from the show for me. And so this, at least this theme song, not the music. It's not like I remember anything but the song. But the song is actually pretty damn good, I think.
It's not a bad theme song.
No,
a bad theme song. I think the theme song probably did a lot for the show and for the franchise back in the day. The thing about the song that irks me a little bit aren't the lyrics at some point, isn't it like, go, go Power Rangers, you Mighty Morphin Power.
I think so.
Isn't that kind of like ridiculous? Isn't it like you're singing at them or like well, talking no,
but
like
think about
Frank,
it.
In like a Frank Sinatra kind of like, you Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, you crazy cats.
But I mean, it kind of makes sense though, if you think about it, because, you know, you're just this bystander, you know, about to get squished by some octopus
cheering them on.
Thing. Yeah. And you're like, go, go Power Rangers. you're like
I get it.
Pointing at them, you know,
and I get it.
Then you get smushed by the Putty Patrol.
Yeah.
And you get your ass kicked by one of the putty men or whatever they're called.
Yeah, I'm amazed. Yeah, you pulled that out. I don't even remember.
I can't forget it. Hell.
Well, I was gonna say for me, this was officially when I started to feel too old for the new hotness. Mm-hmm. You know, this Power Rangers was the first thing where I was like, I remember the promos for it for weeks before the show and being like, yeah, this is going to be the next cool thing. And then I remember watching basically even the intro of the first show and just being like, I don't know if this is for me. And that, this is the first time I remember being like, this might be for people younger than me. And I still watch the show every now and then. And I had kind of like a guilty pleasure for it every now and then. But I certainly never got into it. But I thought they did some cool stuff. I liked the whole Green Ranger plot. That was fine. That was pretty neat. But
it's not a show or necessarily a game I would go back and touch now, though.
No, probably
it's
not.
It's perfect as a memory.
Yeah, indeed. And as we were saying, a good theme song, and you know, really, probably it's a good bow on the whole episode, actually.
Mm-hmm. So, go Joe. I think it's time to wrap it up.
All right.
So thanks everyone for listening to this episode of the Negative World Euphonic Podcast. You know, as I said in this opening of the show, we plan on making more of these, and you know, so keep an eye out on those threads because user input is a key factor. We do plan on kind of changing things up a little bit. I guess I won't speak too much on it though, because I don't want to make any promises until we've refined it. But things will be a little different. We're going to be relying even more on user input, so you know, open those ears and get those brains firing on some of the greatest songs from your gaming history.
Yeah, be thinking about those.
And we'll see you sometime down the road. wish I could say when, but sooner than later. I mean, I love video game
music. Put on that Corridors of Time song, and we'll see you when we see you.
That's a great way to end the show. Thank you. We'll see you in the Corridors of Time.
Goodbye.